Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Swiss biotechnology company Syngenta today says that it has rejected a takeover offer from Monsanto Company, a bid that it said greatly undervalued its prospects. Monsanto had offered to buy the company at a price of $45.5 billion. Syngenta's directors also unanimously rejected the offer because it underestimates significant risks to a deal, including regulatory and public scrutiny in many countries. The Quality Wheat Tour says that Kansas's hard red winter wheat crop is projected at 288.5 million bushels. The tour last year estimated Kansas hard red winter wheat crop at 260.70 million bushels. Scouts say field abandonment rates and disease pressure are two factors that could move the yield needle up or down yet this season. The impact of disease pressure on the 2015 crop, especially from stripe rust, is playing out in fields right now. China's imports contracted again in April, and a new sign of economic weakness. Imports fell by a bigger-than-expected 16.2% over a year earlier. Exports fell 6.4%. Economic growth in China fell to 7% in the first quarter of the year, its lowest level since 2009. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 18,064, is up 175 points. The NASDAQ, 44.48, up almost 46. And the S&P 500 is 2103, and it is up almost 19 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Hey, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. Boy, it's springtime still across a big part of the nation, and that is generating quite a contrast in air mass temperatures and more aggressive weather. We've had a lot of severe weather this week, of course, across a big part of the central and southern plains, and now we've got a new storm system on the charts that's going to impact the northern parts of the U.S. plains and eventually into the upper parts of the Midwest as we go through the weekend. Low-pressure center will form in the central plains today. It will become a very strong low-pressure system tomorrow before moving to the northeast across the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota into parts of Wisconsin. The storm system could actually produce some heavy, wet snow in parts of the northern plains. I know that's a long ways removed from our region, but I wanted to make a point out of it because some of the livestock there, it could be threatened by the storm. We're talking about 1 to 2 feet of snow possible in western South Dakota and 3 to 6 inches across some of the agricultural regions in the northern plains. The upper Midwest will see mostly a little bit of rain from this event, but what is interesting there is that after the system passes early next week, we're going to pull some colder air into the upper parts of the Mississippi River Basin, force temperatures down into some 30-degree range, and it might bring a little frost and a couple of light freezes to some of the upper Midwest. That could result in a little burning of early emerged corn and soybean crops in that area. The heart of the Midwest is going to experience a bit of shower and thunderstorm pattern as we go forward through the weekend. The storm system I just mentioned that impacts the northern U.S. plains will also have influence on the Corn Belt. We'll see a new line of thunderstorms working their way through Kansas and Missouri into Nebraska and western Iowa as we go through late Saturday evening and into Sunday. Until then, we'll likely see just a scattering of light showers and thunderstorms occurring across maybe 40 to 45% of the Midwest, much of which will be in the lower and eastern areas or across our region here. So Illinois to parts of Michigan and Ohio will see those showers. The line of storms that will be more intense in the western Corn Belt Saturday night into Sunday morning will bring some locally heavy rain and maybe some severe weather, but the system is expected to weaken as it shifts to the east. We'll see a few strong thunderstorms in parts of Illinois on Sunday going into Monday morning, and then the precipitation will fall apart again, and we'll see just light showers occurring through the rest of the Midwest. the bottom line is that most of us will be able to still get some work done this weekend and early next week, just going to have to dodge the bullet, so to speak. I have to watch out for the precipitation events, keep an eye on radar, but there should be reason enough that we can still move in through some of these fields. The temperature bias is going to continue to be warm, and that will help us to accelerate drying rates whenever the sun is available. And it looks like we'll see the high temperatures today peaking out in the upper 70s and 80s across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest. High temperatures tomorrow will be similar. And then on Saturday, or actually on Sunday, I guess we'll be looking at temperatures still running 70s with a few lower 80s still from southeastern Illinois to southern Ohio and parts of Kentucky. So having the temperatures warm like that and a little bit of sunshine between the rain events should still allow some field progress to take place. This week, last 5 days, it hasn't rained any in the southernmost parts of the region. The Ohio River Basin has seen ideal conditions. We're going to continue to have that, I think, even though we've got a few showers around. The cool weather that comes in is going to show itself early to midweek next week, and like I said, we could see some 30-degree temperatures for lows occurring in the upper Midwest, but we are not expecting any kind of serious crop damage to come from that. Outside of these issues, there will be frost and freezes that will occur in the High Plains region this weekend and Monday. This will occur from Montana all the way down to the Texas Panhandle. We're not expecting to see permanent wheat damage occur, but there will be at least some burning of vegetative development. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 504.5, up 5.75. July, 501.5, up 1.75. Soft May, 468, up 2.25. July, 474.5, up 1.75. Now it's up 2. May corn, 358.5, up 3/4. July, 360, down 1.5. September, 365.75, down 1.5. December, 375.5, down 1.5. July is 16,401.5, down 1.5. May beans, 979, down 2.5. July, 971, down 4. September, 952, down 4.75. November, 946.5, down 4.5. May soybean meal, 316, down 140. May soybean oil, 32.45, up 14. June live cattle, 150.65, up 127.5. May feeders, 215.27.5, up 37.5, and May lean hogs, 80.52.5, and they're up 67.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, the market has a report due out come Tuesday, a new WASDE report. So,
yeah.
Do we think that the market from now till then is going to be kind of choppy?
I think we'll see some choppiness. It seems like right now we're seeing the fundamentals, and I think I've talked about this in the past, where we just really don't have a big story to tell. I mean, if it's anything, it's probably leans towards the bearish side. But, I mean, we're just kind of a normal year at this point. We do have enough probably with some dryness out in the west and northwestern part of the belt to maybe give something for the bulls to hold on to. But really, the fundamentals just don't have a lot there right now. And it seems like we're trying to kind of trap the trend traders here, you know, the people that follow the trends. That's kind of been the story here this week, where you get going one way and then all of a sudden we see a day where we reverse, reverse from the current trend. So, that's, you know, the technical side of the market seems to kind of be dictating things. But as we get into the report next week, our focus may change a little bit.
And I'm sure that traders are going to be very curious to see what USDA does with the China corn crop, given that their officials now say 17 million more metric tons.
Yeah, I think that'll be one thing that they're looking at. I think the wheat number with a wheat tour just got done, and it was kind of, again, it was kind of, above last year, but not well, it was still well below the five-year trend. So I think some of those focuses, the carryout number, of course, this will be the first report that has a new crop supply and demand in it, and I think those carryout numbers will be a focus as well.
Is it possible that Tuesday's spike low at 372 and a quarter could actually be the low in the marketplace all the way to the acreage report?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's some indication of that, although the market yesterday kind of makes you wonder if we couldn't go back down there and test that again. But if you look at something that would support that, I guess in my mind, is if you look at the cash market, you've kind of seen where, you know, a 5 cent pop in the basis would pretty much buy corn, and we're starting to see where that's starting to dry up a little bit. We're not really seeing that kind of. So that's telling us that maybe some of the hedge corn has been pretty well moved, and we were relying a little bit now on the farmer to move crop to be able to get more into the pipeline, and that's not, it seems like it's just coming in a trickle right now. So there's a couple things that fundamentally support that as well.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. December corn, 375 down 2. November beans, 945 and a half, down 5 and a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.